Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So by now, most of you know already that before coming to Stockdale, I served as the associate pastor and the youth pastor for First Baptist Church in Watauga, Texas. Now, because Watauga is in the DFW Metroplex, it has that large city feel to it, especially as you think about all of the traffic. But in reality, Watauga itself is actually a small town. It's comprised of only 4.2 square miles. And so then it's surrounded by larger cities like Keller, Haltom City, and of course Fort Worth itself. And while it is a small town in regards to square miles, that wasn't always the plan. So you won't find this story on any official website out there. This is simply a story that I was told by some older residents that lived in Watauga in a time before the cities had enveloped Watauga. So the residents and those in official capacities, they saw the impending growth of the cities around them, and so they wanted to expand their borders. They wanted to be able to grow as a city as well, and so official plans were drawn up to be submitted to the proper authorities so that these dreams could be realized, and then these plans were handed off to a particular person who was going to take these to the necessary state office. However, before he was able to deliver them, he unexpectedly passed away. And these plans had been placed in the trunk of his car, and no one knew where the plans were. And so the time came and went for these plans to be submitted, and by the time they were ready with new plans, the other cities had taken possession of the land around them. It was too late. They had missed their chance, and so Watauga had to remain a town of only 4.2 square miles, even to this day. So we're in a series right now in the book of Haggai titled, Think Carefully About Your Ways. And as we've seen in the book of Haggai already, what we've seen is that things had not gone as planned. If you remember, it was the year 536 BC that people began to rebuild the temple. They laid the foundation, and there was this big celebration, but then 2 years passed, and 534 BC, all efforts had stopped. They became discouraged, and 14 more years passed. In the year 520 BC, the temple still sat there incomplete, and they began to prioritize their own comforts. They began to prioritize their own houses over the Lord's house and the Lord's desires. And so it would be easy to look at their story at that point and say it was too late. It would be easy to say that they had missed their chance to do what God had called them to do. But God sent Haggai as a prophet to speak to the people, to rebuke the people from their complacency, and to call them to repentance, to call them to begin doing what the Lord had called them to do in the first place, to begin rebuilding the temple and to finish it. So I want you to hear me this morning. It is never too late to begin walking in obedience to the Lord. It is never too late to begin walking in obedience to the Lord. Listen, you may be here today, and you might say, I've been walking in sin and rebellion for years, maybe for your whole life. You might say that you have rejected Christ and the gospel over and over again. Maybe you feel like you are in too deep or you have gone too far. That the time of salvation has come and gone for you. But the good news for us is that while our sin may be great, our God is greater. And because of Christ's death on the cross and because of his resurrection, even if you have been walking in rebellion for 20 years, 30 years, or even 80 years of your life, you can still turn to him today and you will receive love, mercy, and forgiveness. Today, you can begin a life of obedience to him. That's the power of the gospel. It's never too late to begin walking in obedience to the Lord. Now, you may be here today, and you might say that you are a believer. And it's not that you have rejected the gospel, but if you're honest, there are areas of your life where you just aren't walking in obedience to the Lord. You aren't doing what the Lord has called you to do. It's not that you're walking in disobedience in every area of your life, but maybe you're walking in disobedience in some areas of your life. Maybe it's a particular sin that you continue to go back to that nobody else knows about. Maybe you feel trapped in that sin. You feel trapped in that disobedience, believing that it's too late for you to be set free. Listen, if you're a believer, the same God that was big enough to save you is the same God that is big enough to overcome that sin or that disobedience in your life if you allow Him to. So confess that sin today. Turn that sin over to Him and begin walking in obedience once again. It's never too late to begin walking in obedience to the Lord. As we look at the book of Haggai, and as we see a people who laid a foundation and then did nothing more for 14 years, I believe that we as a church should take this as a warning to us. Here in the next several weeks, we're going to lay the foundation for our youth and children's building. We are going to celebrate laying that foundation. But following laying that foundation, following that celebration, we must not become complacent. We must continue to commit. We must continue to pray. We must continue to sacrificially give so that we would see more than just the foundation laid, but that we would see the walls go up, the carpet go in, and that we would see our youth worshiping in that building. We must look at the complacency of the people here in the book of Haggai, and we must commit not to fall into that trap ourselves. Now, thankfully, as the Lord spoke to the people through Haggai, they responded in obedience, and they began once again to rebuild the temple. This time, their mind was set on completion. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Haggai chapter 2 this morning. We're going to look at verses 10 through 19 today. Haggai 2, 10 through 19. Now, as you're turning there, I'm going to take you back to Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, which we looked at last week. Haggai 2, 8 tells us this: "The silver and gold belong to me. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies." Now, why is this significant? Well, as we think about the temple being rebuilt, this was going to take time. It would require them to sacrifice their time, resources, and even their finances. We know this to be true as we think about building this youth and children's building. It is requiring sacrifice from us, especially in regards to our finances. And many times, making sacrifices, especially in the area of our finances, can be difficult for us as humans. That's not to make us feel guilty, that's just the reality. Many times it can be difficult for us to make sacrifices when it comes to our finances. And so God gives this reminder to the people that all the silver and gold belongs to Him, which reminds us of two important truths. First, it reminds us that what we already have belongs to God. Listen, when we become kingdom-focused individuals, where we recognize that everything that we have, everything that has been placed in our hands, was placed into our hands by God Himself. And when we realize that truly it all belongs to Him anyways, it makes it a lot easier for us to say, "You have placed this into my hands, now let me place it back into your hands that you might do with it whatever you desire." But second, it reminds us that what we don't yet have also belongs to God. In other words, God has all of the finances and resources available to Him to accomplish whatever He might call us to do, which means our obedience to God doesn't have to be based on what we think we can do as we look at our own bank accounts. Rather, our obedience to God can be based on what we know God can do, because all the resources belong to Him. So let me pause right here and say this. Our resources may be limited, but God's resources are unlimited. Amen. And maybe you need to be reminded of that truth today. Our resources may be limited, but God's resources are unlimited. So I shared this story when we had our vision night and I laid out the plans to raise funds, to pray, to commit, to sacrificially give. But I want to share this story with everyone here this morning. So several years ago, before I was in full-time ministry, Sarah and I, we were attending a Baptist church up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this church had a ministry called the Caring Center. It was a ministry to homeless people, to underprivileged families. And so as part of this Caring Center, they had something similar to what we have, what we call the food pantry, which, by the way, the food pantry has been doing a great job ministering to families around our community throughout this year. If you would like to give directly to the food pantry, you can do that at fbcstockdale.org/give. The food pantry could really use those extra funds right now. But this church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, it had a ministry like the food pantry, and so every so often they would ask the church to bring a specific food item and to place it on the stairs of the stage in the sanctuary. And so one particular Sunday, at the end of the service, the pastor gave the reminder, next Sunday we are collecting jars of peanut butter. And so after church that day, Sarah and I, we were driving to Sarah's sister's father-in-law's house. Try and say that five times fast. So we were driving to his house. We were going to have lunch with family. And as we were driving to his house, we were discussing giving a jar of peanut butter, which really may not sound like that big of a deal. But something you should know, at this point in our life, Sarah and I, we were extremely poor. I was staying at home, working as a stay-at-home dad, taking care of Emily. Sarah was working as a teacher. And newsflash, teachers don't get paid that much, and it's even worse in Oklahoma. So we were extremely poor, and we were only able to go grocery shopping one time a month. And we would buy one jar of peanut butter a month, which would be Emily's lunch for the entire month. I would make her a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day. Healthy or not, that's what I did, right? It was easy, right? So I had just gone grocery shopping. I knew that we had a jar of peanut butter in our pantry that had not yet been opened. And so we discussed giving that jar of peanut butter, and we wanted to give that jar of peanut butter, but we knew if we gave that jar of peanut butter, it meant that we would not have peanut butter for a month. Regardless, we believed that the Lord wanted us to make that sacrifice. And so in the car and in our hearts, we committed to make that sacrifice, to give that jar of peanut butter next Sunday morning. And then we pulled up to Sarah's sister's father-in-law's house. His name was Bob. We can call him that from now on. So we pulled up to Bob's house. We parked. We went in. And when we went in, Bob said to us, "Hey, I have this jar of peanut butter that I bought for our grandkids when they were here, but I don't like peanut butter. Do you guys want it?" Absolutely we do, right? We knew that this was God's hand at work, that this was God's provision at work. You see, our resources may be limited, but God's resources are unlimited. The silver and gold and even the jars of peanut butter belong to Him. And so as we continue to pray, as we continue to commit and sacrificially give to this youth and children's building, let me give you this reminder. Don't just simply trust in your own resources. Let's look to God and His resources and trust in Him, because all the resources belong to Him already. The Israelites had this reminder, and so they began to rebuild the temple. And so He sent Haggai to speak to them here in chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. God sent Haggai to speak to them a third time. And so we're going to see what God has to say to the people of Israel this time. Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. It says, "On the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord of armies says, 'Ask the priests for a ruling. If a man is carrying consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and it touches bread, stew, wine, oil, or any other food, does it become holy? The priest answered, no. Then Haggai asked, if someone defiled by contact with a corpse touches any of these, does it become defiled? The priest answered, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai replied, so is this people, and so is this nation before me. This is the Lord's declaration. And so is every work of their hands, even what they offer there is defiled. Now from this day on, think carefully. Before one stone was placed on another in the Lord's temple, what state were you in? When someone came to a grain heap of 20 measures, it only amounted to 10. When one came to the wine press to dip 50 measures from the vat, it only amounted to 20. I struck you, all the work of your hands, with blight, mildew, and hail, but you didn't turn to me. This is the Lord's declaration. From this day on, think carefully. From the 24th day of the 9th month, from the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, think carefully. Is there still seed left in the granary? The vine, the fig, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yet produced, but from this day on, I will bless you. So as we look at this passage this morning, I want to take some time to discuss what we see going on there in verses 10 through 14. Remember, before they began rebuilding the temple once again, the people had misplaced priorities. The fact that they were prioritizing their own houses over the Lord's house revealed that they were truly prioritizing themselves over the Lord. And so God is reminding the people in the midst of the rebuilding why they need to continue to sacrifice, why they need to continue to refocus their hearts. And so he points them to the law of Moses. The law of Moses, of course, was given prior to Christ's sacrifice. And the purpose of the law, and what may seem extreme to us in the law at times, all of it was to point us to our need for a Savior. It was all to point us to Jesus. So in the law of Moses, if something clean were to come in contact with something unclean, the unclean thing wouldn't all of a sudden become clean. Rather, the clean thing would become unclean. Much like if you were to drop a piece of food onto the floor. It doesn't matter how clean that food was. As soon as it's dropped onto a dirty floor, that food becomes dirty. The floor doesn't become clean. The food becomes dirty. Now, you may have the 5-second rule in your house, but not in my house, right? If that food touches the floor, it is dirty. So why was this important? Well, the Israelites had been exiled to Babylon, and so for so long they had been focused on getting back into the promised land where they were now. And so there was this kind of mentality that simply their presence in the promised land meant that they were in right standing with God. But what God is telling them, he's reminding them that even if they are in the promised land, if they are walking in obedience to God, if they are allowing for other things to become priorities over their relationship with the Lord, then they are not clean in his sight. They are not in right standing with him. Understand, even a little sin makes us sinful. Even a little sin makes us sinful. It doesn't matter if you walk in perfection for 99% of your life, even if you sin for 1% of your life, that sin makes you sinful. It makes you dirty, unclean in the sight of God, in desperate need of a Savior. And just like their presence in the promised land didn't automatically mean that they had right standing with the Lord, your presence in a church building or your presence in the midst of good works does not give you right standing with God. Even a little sin makes us sinful. So the law said if something clean touched something dirty, the clean thing became unclean. But here's the beautiful news of the gospel. Jesus is completely clean, completely holy, completely pure. And when we come to Jesus with all of our sin, the filthiness in our lives, Jesus touches us. But Jesus doesn't become dirty. What happens is Jesus makes us clean. And what the law has revealed all throughout the Old Testament is that nothing else in this world has the power to do that. Only Jesus can touch something dirty and make it clean. So let me pause right here and ask, do you need Jesus to make you clean today? Do you need to come to Him in your brokenness and in your filth, the filth of your sin? Bring it to Him so that He can touch you, that you might be made clean. Here's the deal. There's no five-second rule with Jesus. It doesn't take 5 seconds. When Jesus touches you, you become clean in an instant. So we see this reminder of their need to refocus their priorities with this understanding that simply being in the promised land doesn't give them right standing before the Lord. And then just like we saw in chapter 1, now we see, once again, God call the people to think carefully about their ways. There are two specific things that we see God tell them to think carefully about. We're going to look at these two things, and then we're also going to think carefully about these things as well. So first, God is saying, think carefully about your disobedience. Think carefully about your disobedience. Let's read verse 15 through the first part of verse 16 again. It says, now from this day on, think carefully. Before one stone was placed on another in the Lord's temple, what state were you in? God is saying, think carefully about your ways. Well, what state were they in? Not Texas, right? Man, y'all did not think that was funny at all. I tried, all right? So the state that they were in, they had been in a state of disobedience, but they were also in a state of discipline as a result of their disobedience. You see, as they prioritized their own comfort, God allowed for things to get uncomfortable for them. God allowed for them to face great difficulties in their finances and their resources. They were in a state of disobedience, and as a result, they were in a state of discipline. Now, just because we are going through difficulties does not always mean that we are being disciplined by God, right? Sometimes we go through difficulties simply because of the nature of this world, because this world is broken, because we are in a fallen state of this world. This world is in desperate need of redemption. And so sometimes the hardships we face are simply a result of the nature of this world. Sometimes we go through difficulties because of our own poor choices. It's not necessarily discipline that we're going through. Rather, it's just natural consequences of our own poor choices. Think about it this way. If I don't have a job and I don't get a paycheck, my lack of money is not discipline from God. It is just the natural consequence of me not working. But I want you to hear me. Whether what we're going through is a result of the fallen state of this world, whether it's a result of just natural consequences, or whether it is discipline from God, every hardship is an opportunity to turn our focus to the Lord. Because here's the truth for us. God is our hope in the midst of the hardship. Amen. And maybe you need to be reminded of that truth today. God is our hope in the midst of the hardship. For the Israelites, this was certainly true because their hardship was discipline from God. Their hardship was a result of their disobedience. They were being disciplined, yet in the midst of their discipline, we're told in verse 17 that they did not turn back to God. In other words, until the Lord sent Haggai to speak to the people to call them to obedience, they continued in their disobedience. So I want you to hear me. Let's not make the same mistake as the Israelites. If we are going through a hardship or if we are experiencing discipline, let's not continue headstrong in the opposite direction of the Lord. Instead, let's run to Him that we might receive that freedom and that hope in the midst of whatever we might be going through, because God is our hope in the midst of the hardship. And so God is saying, as they look at their discipline that they're going through, God is saying, think carefully about your disobedience. But God is also saying, think carefully about your obedience. Let's read the end of verse 18 through verse 19 again. It says, think carefully. Is there still seed left in the granary? The vine, the fig, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yet produced. But from this day on, I will bless you. God is saying, think carefully about your obedience. So the Israelites, they'd been walking in disobedience. They'd been prioritizing themselves over the Lord. But when Haggai came and spoke to them, they began to walk in obedience once again. They began to reprioritize their hearts. And so what God is saying now, as they begin rebuilding the temple, what God is saying is, as a result, you're not going to experience discipline. Now, because of your obedience, you are going to experience blessing. But for the Israelites, the blessing was something that they would have to wait for. The vines would still have to produce. The trees would still have to bloom. All of that would take time. They had begun walking in obedience, but they would still have to wait for the blessing. But here's the good news for us. As we look to the cross, we understand the blessing has already come. Remember, as we look to the Old Testament, all of this was to point us to the coming Savior. All of this was to prepare us for Jesus. And while the Messiah was still someone that they would still have to wait for, on this side of the cross, we know the Messiah has already come. The vine has already produced. The tree has already bloomed. And so now we don't walk in obedience to the Lord with a desire to be blessed. We walk in obedience to the Lord because we have been blessed. Listen, if you're a believer, then we are not called to look at God's word and obey God's word so that we can be saved. For the believer, we are called to look at God's word and obey God's word because we have been saved. And understand, if you have received Jesus, you have received the greatest blessing. There is no greater blessing in this world. There's nothing that this world can offer that could ever compare to the blessing of Jesus. He is the greatest blessing. And so if you have received Jesus, you have received the greatest blessing. And so like the Israelites, we are called to think carefully, about our disobedience and to think carefully about our obedience. And so as we do think carefully about those things, if you're a believer, I want to ask a question. Is your life reflective of the blessing you have received? Are you walking in obedience to the one that has blessed you with transformation, with freedom, and with eternal salvation? Is your life reflective of the blessing you have received? And if it's not, then like Haggai, I would call you to repentance today. But if you've never given your life to Christ, understand the call to obedience to you today is a call for you to surrender your life to Jesus, to recognize the disobedience or the sin in your life, and to turn to Him that you might receive salvation. And as I said already, I want you to know it's never too late. Today is the perfect day for your salvation. And so, in a moment, we're going to sing another song, and this is going to be your opportunity to respond this morning. And if you're here today and you would say, you know what, I am in disobedience. I am in my sin. I have never given my life to Christ. But today I am ready to do that. Today I am ready to turn to Him. I don't want to continue headstrong in my sin any longer. I want to turn to Him. If you're ready to confess Jesus as Lord today, then as we sing this next song, I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. You can step out of your seat and you can join me down here. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you so that today might be the day of your salvation. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I'm a believer, but if I'm honest, there are areas in my life that need to be refocused, that need to be reprioritized, because there are areas of my life that I'm just not doing what I've been called to do. If that's you, then I would encourage you to respond to the Lord as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. You can also respond to Him, confess that to Him right where you're at. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step to make my faith in Christ public through baptism. We have 5 more baptisms on the schedule right now. If you've given your life to Christ, I'd love to get your baptism on the schedule as well. Come and talk with me. Pray with me. We can make that commitment together today. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to become a member of First Baptist Church. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, that you might become a functioning member here of this church body to join us on mission. Whatever it is that the Lord's calling you to do in this church, in this place, in this moment, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Stand with me right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.